Hello and welcome to Emerging Cricket for another week. My name is Dan Kelly and today I have the absolute pleasure of being joined by the coach of Netherlands cricket, Ryan Campbell, fresh after his side's recent ODI and T20 series against Zimbabwe. Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, no worries, mate. Always good to join you guys.
Excellent. So I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy summer of cricket schedule, especially after the back of the series. Just tell me, as a former Australian, how does a summer of cricket in Europe take place as opposed to maybe a summer of cricket in Australia?
Well, it's a little bit different, that's for sure, especially for the national team. You know, obviously coming from WA and playing for West Australia, the fixtures are in stone and you know exactly what to expect in, you know, 10 shield matches. Then you've got the big bash and the one day cricket and all that sort of stuff. Whereas here, as an associate, we are always on the lookout and battling to find fixtures for, you know, that are going to make the Netherlands better. And that's been a battle for a number of years now. And I think for us, I'm not sure if your listeners understand, but for us winning the World Cricket League a couple of years ago guaranteed our place in the 13-team Super League starting next year. And what that's done for us is basically given us the fixtures that we needed that can be put in place, set in stone for the next 2 to 3 years. And, you know, we can work around that now. And for the first time in, I guess, Dutch history, our international fixtures are set in stone and we know, you know, we can, like I say, prepare accordingly, which, you know, is fantastic. Obviously, there's club cricket as well that goes on here in the Netherlands. And again, it's a different sort of a system where clubs are not, they have to, it's a playoff relegation system. So there's the top classer and the half classer and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, our national players, we try to get them playing in the top classer, but you know, if their club isn't in there and they don't want to leave, it's very hard to make them to move, so to speak. So that's quite frustrating at times as well. But, you know, they love their clubs and they love playing club cricket. So it always works out very well for us.
Yeah. So as you said, there was a bit of, like you said, it's a bit of a different sort of way to Australia. And there can be such a large gap between fixtures as such for Netherlands cricket. Obviously, that's what makes the results against Zimbabwe so impressive. What do you take as a coach from a successful series as this after such maybe such a big gap between fixtures?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the last time we played ODI cricket was against Nepal last year. So, you know, we prepared accordingly. And obviously playing against a full member is a big deal for us. And, you know, my job as, I guess, as the coach has always been to try and promote our youngsters and give them games of cricket at the highest standard. So we find out a lot more about them. And, you know, that's what the Zimbabwe series brought. I didn't bring back all my county players, which is, you know, some people sometimes question that. But again, it's about me exposing our youngsters to a higher form of cricket. And, you know, I can't be more proud of my team, the way they went about it, their professionalism. And I think that's the biggest change. You know, a lot of the Zimbabwe guys actually said, we just can't believe the change in your team now. And, you know, it's been a long process, but after 2.5 years of being here, I think we're getting somewhere. Obviously, we got a long way to go, and we, you know, we have one eye on the future of the World T20 qualifiers and also our Super League starting next year. So, you know, everything is leading up to that, so to speak, and we'll continue to keep trying players and hopefully get better.
So for maybe some of our listeners, I'm sure a lot of them are very familiar with the big names, the Van der Moors, the Tendulkars, that sort of stuff. But as we saw in this Zimbabwe series, like you said, you tried to blood a lot of new blood. Give us a bit of a background on players such as Brandon Glover that you gave a bit of experience to this series, even a Saqib Zulfikar, something like that. What do they bring to the team in the next generation?
Well, mate, they bring youthful exuberance, that's for sure. A guy like Brandon Glover bowls at very good pace, and I think the difference between us and some of the other associates is, you know, we have six very good fast bowlers that we call our stable of bowlers that we can and throw around, and they all have a certain skill set. So Glover brings pace to the table. You know, obviously Saqib Zulfikar is a young leg spinner who also bats. Then you know, you've got a guy like Max O'Dowd who's been in the system for quite some time, but you know, had a fantastic series against Zimbabwe, and I think he's one that you know, just shows through a lot of hard work and persistency, you know, you can achieve great results. And, you know, Fred Klassen, I think, is another example who came to us, you know, as a Dutch boy who worked hard but was probably a yard or two too slow. But Freddie has literally spent the last 3 years in a gym and working on his game. And, you know, it wasn't a surprise to me that Kent picked him up at the end of last year. And, you know, now he's a full-time professional and he's getting the results that he loves.
You touched on on how County can sort of play an impact on your role as the Netherlands coach. So how do you go managing your Dutch-based contingency of players with your County-based contingency? It's obviously quite the challenge.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of good man management stuff that we need to do. And, you know, I'm obviously in constant contact with the counties. And the counties understand that I don't just drag players back for no reason. You know, I look at the fixtures and you know, if it's a full international like the Zimbabwe series was, who do I particularly need? Do I want to bring all, you know, we have six or seven, I think, county players at the moment. You know, sometimes I don't want to bring them all back because I know they're playing top flight cricket and I know they're getting better. So can I use those guys or do I use my locals to get better experience, so to speak? So, mate, it is a bit of give and take. Of course, the counties very often don't want to release them because they might have big fixtures coming up. So, you know, like I say, the communication lines are always open. And, you know, there has been times where we haven't been allowed to have a player, which kind of frustrates us. And now we push back a bit and say, look, they're our player, so we're going to bring them in. So, yeah, it's a constant chess battle, so to speak, which makes me laugh sometimes.
Yeah, and you guys are obviously missing key players for this series with Zimbabwe, some. What does this sort of change for you in the lead-up to big tournaments, such as the T20 World Cup qualifiers or the Super League next year, when you're trying to build those important combinations?
Yeah, mate, that's the toughest thing. You know, I was very clear in our process of we have, you know, Zimbabwe coming. Next week, we go and play 5 T20 matches against the counties in Essex, Gloucester and Glamorgan. We also have the UAE touring in August. And basically, we set out that we thought, you know what, who is a chance to play in be selected in our world T20 qualifiers? How are we going to find out if, you know, who should go? And that's pretty much by playing them all. So those three series, we're just using to pretty much give everyone an opportunity. And it's like any sport, mate, and any professional elite thing you do. Whoever performs on the day will put their hand up and demand that I can't leave them out, so to speak. So, you know, that's it's healthy competition. It's competition that the Dutch have never had before. You know, pretty much you would see the same 10, 11 players being used every single week. And now that's no longer the case.
Yeah, so playing a series like this against Zimbabwe, where it sometimes is just about having a look at players, having a look at combinations, but it's also very important that you're playing full member nations, like you said. Do you keep one eye on bigger tournaments like the T20 World Cup qualifiers or the Super League?
Yeah, mate, there's no doubt that everything I do, I have one eye on, particularly the World Cup qualifiers, which is a massive tournament for us. You know, qualifying for the Australian T20 World Cup would be a fantastic achievement for us. And, you know, we've been there before at World Cups and we want to return there. Obviously, there's more pressure now that the 50-over World Cup has been reduced to a glorified 10-team competition, which I don't think you should get me started on that because you probably won't like the answer. But, you know, they're the facts of how it is now. As associate nation, we have to, you know, present ourselves in the big tournaments. And, you know, the T20 World Cup is our chance. And, you know, everything I'm doing at the moment is basically gearing us up for that.
Mm. So it's obviously a very exciting next 12 to 18 months for Dutch cricket. I think this time next year, you'll be preparing for an ODI series against Pakistan, the West Indies, and potentially, obviously, for the T20 World Cup all going well. As a mentor to a lot of these young guys, like the Glovers and the Zulfikas and that sort of stuff, how are you managing them with such an exciting time ahead?
Mate, it is tough. You know, you're trying to make them concentrate and work hard, but, you know, they're not human if they're not thinking how exciting it's going to be to, you know, play in their first game against Pakistan here at VRA in Amstelveen. There's, you know, TV coverage probably to 200, 300 million people, which, you know, has never really been done for us before. So it is exciting, but again, it's a game of cricket, and the only way you're going to get picked for those teams is by performances. So, you know, we are very clear in our guidelines. We're very clear that we're a working man's team, and, you know, everyone pitches in and everyone works hard, and hopefully with that, and we'll get team success and also we'll get individual success.
Mm. Just give me a bit of an insight into that. He obviously has a very good mix in the Netherlands team of old and young, with those younger fellas coming through, but you also have those older guys who have sort of been there and done it before. What sort of impact do they bring to the team, the Van der Moers, the Tendiscarters, to the team with these young guys coming through?
Well, mate, it's very clear. They're professional sportsmen. They know how to go about their business day in, day out, and they're teaching our guys how to do that. You know, that was shown very clearly in our series against Zimbabwe. After winning the first game, it could have been very easily going, oh yeah, we won a game, you know, everyone's happy, you know, doesn't matter if we get thrashed now. But that's not the way we work anymore. And, you know, there's a real professionalism about the group, and those senior players are so important to us. And that's why I worked very hard to get Ryan Tendiscarter back playing cricket for the Netherlands after he basically called it quits after the 2011 World Cup. So, you know, they're important to us, but also I need my youngsters coming through, and, you know, they need to be also pressuring these guys out of a position, which kind of sounds strange, but, you know, that's what's happened. We, at the moment, a guy like Steph Meiberg, who probably everyone knows is a match winner for Holland, can't get a game because, you know, the Tobias Vices and Max O'Dowds have grabbed their opportunity.
So moving on to, say, for you, for example, when taking on such big full-member sides like you will in the next 12 to 18 months in competitions like the Super League or the T20 World Cup, do you as a coach sort of pinch yourself at the opportunity to take on full-member sides like this?
Oh mate, I love the challenge of it all, and you know, it's fantastic. It's, to me, as a coach, it's just a great opportunity to see my players go about their business against great teams. So, look, it is exciting. I won't lie. I get excited about, you know, the big games as much as the next guy. So, like I say, we do keep a lid on it, but we enjoy the opportunities when they're presented to us.
Yeah. So this is, I think you touched on a little bit earlier, you've been in the Netherlands for 2 years now. How have you gone sort of settling into life in Netherlands, maybe a country more football orientated and not as cricket hungry and mad as Australia is, I guess?
Yeah, mate, that's the tough thing. It's, you know, football and hockey come first here in the Netherlands. It has had its challenges. But you know what, all we can do is keep pushing the game and showing kids that they can become full-time professionals in cricket nowadays, which hasn't happened before. You know, we've expanded our contract system to, you know, there's 10 guys contracted, full-time contracts now. We're about to see the Euro Slam take off for the first time, which will give, you know, 18 Dutch players opportunities in the two Dutch teams, which again, has never been done before. So, mate, there's opportunities there. The other thing that's also quite difficult is, you know, it's not like Australia where in the Netherlands there is no sport at school at all. So it's not in their curriculum. So, you know, for people to start playing the game, they actually have to join a club, and that can present challenges in itself. So, mate, like I say, it's tough, but not only for me with the language barrier, but, you know, these are the sort of challenges we have to face.
You touched on the Euro T20 Slam there. What sort of, I guess, inspiration will this bring to the Netherlands? Or even, maybe not even inspiration, but just something that the Netherlands people who maybe haven't sort of caught on to cricket, will it sort of give cricket another lease of life in the Netherlands, or a bit more of a vision, I guess?
Mate, no doubt it's going to be fantastic for cricket here. You know, they've already sold the media rights to all around the world. As I don't know if you've seen, but of the last time I looked, you know, the number of international players is growing by the day. You know, you're going to have guys like Ian Morgan's already signed up. Now they're saying Yuvraj Singh is going to come. You know, there's going to be great players here. So the public of the Netherlands will get their first chance to see international guys playing, you know, in their country. And, you know, the Euro Slam, for listeners, is between the three countries, obviously Scotland, Ireland and the Netherlands. They have two teams each, and you play, it's like a travelling circus. You play the first week in the Netherlands, and then you go to Scotland, and then you go to Ireland. So these guys will be on the road for 3 weeks, eating, sleeping, playing cricket, hanging out with the Brendan McCullums of the world, you know, and hopefully a lot of that stuff will rub off on them.
Yeah, it's very good stuff to hear. So earlier this year, you re-signed for another 2 years with the Dutch cricket team. What were your thought processes behind the extension?
Well, you know, basically, apart from making an offer that I couldn't refuse, I could just see the excitement that is growing here. And, you know, the next 2 years with the Super League, with the T20 World Cups, with the Euro Slam, I just felt as a coach to be the international coach of the 13th team in the world was too good an offer to say no to and turn my back to. Obviously, it also brings in its own sort of, you know, worries being away from home and, you know, not seeing my parents as often as I would. My kids are growing up. My about to be 4-year-old now speaks fluent Dutch, which is quite bizarre for me to see. It's a great opportunity for us, and myself and my wife are loving the Netherlands, and, you know, we'll go until we see. I guess an opportunity to come home will always be the calling, I guess. But again, right now I'm really happy with where I'm at, and I'm really happy with the way we're going here with the Netherlands.
Good to hear. So in terms of Dutch cricket, it's obviously a very historical and proud organisation, even as a sporting landscape. As an outsider coming from Australia, like you said, what are the ways you've managed to sort of work within the system and the difficulties? Like, you touched on the Dutch barrier, the language barrier and all that sort of stuff, but is there more than that?
Well, there is. It basically, the first thing that I've tried to bring is a more professional approach to everything we do, and that comes from board members to the way we conduct ourselves to the way we're seen on the ground. Our players know that they're representing something a bit bigger than themselves. There's the Dutch club system also has quite a lot of power when it comes to the competitions and stuff like that. So, you know, you have to form relationships with this. At times they don't see the big picture of the Dutch national team, and like in a lot of places, you know, it's all about them on any given day, and, you know, we have to sign to show that these are the reasons why. You know, for instance, we try and avoid playing Dutch national matches on the same day as the top class of competition, because basically the clubs would be upset that their players are missing for national duty, which is, again, quite frustrating at times. But we're getting better. We, they're seeing the way we want to go about it. You know, this year, for the first time ever, the whole competition has changed to coloured clothing and white balls, literally, because, you know, the Dutch national team only play coloured clothing. We only use a white ball. So, you know, we need our players growing up what we do. So, mate, like I say, it has its challenges, but that's the fun part of the job, I guess.
Definitely. You sort of touched on the league system there that's developing in the Netherlands. I think there's a bit of a stigma amongst the cricketing world as such that Netherlands, I guess, is based upon, you know, the Tenderscaters and the Van der Guchtens who ply their trade in the county competitions. Can you just give us a bit of an insight into what the Netherlands league system and that the system that the leagues that you're developing there and what they mean to the Netherlands cricket?
Yeah, well, you know, let me start by saying this. When I first came here, my first series was against Zimbabwe. I had one homegrown player in the squad of 13, and the rest had come from a number of, you know, all Dutch passport holders, but, you know, were either South African or Australian or something, you know, English or whatever. You know, this recent series, there was 7 of 13. So that's a massive change for one. And those players have come from the Dutch top class of system. So, you know, we are focusing on that. It's the club cricket here. Is they have two professionals in each team to make the standard, you know, better. But also, you know, there's little things for me that I don't enjoy, whereas, you know, in Australia, there's no final system, for instance, in the top class. Or it's like the English Premier League. It's whoever wins the most games, you know, wins the competition, which, yeah, okay, that's fine. But, you know, it doesn't put pressure on players in the, you know, by playing a semi-final or a final, which I kind of don't like. But, you know, like I say, it's a weird system for an Aussie to look at, but this is what it is. And, you know, we're trying to always put forward suggestions of, you know, do we reduce the number of teams to get a stronger competition, or do we extend it, or do we do whatever? You know, I'm always open for suggestion. But like I say, it's just a matter of communicating well with the clubs and working out what's best to make the competition hard And so therefore the kids are learning the right way and then hopefully going to become really good international players.
Mm, definitely. So that about wraps up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for joining us, Ryan, and congratulations again for the result against Zimbabwe. We appreciate hearing from you, especially in the lead up to what will be such a big 12 to 18 months for Dutch cricket.
No problem, mate. Any time at all.
Once again, it's been an absolute pleasure being joined by Ryan Campbell, head coach of the Netherlands cricket team. On behalf of Ryan and myself, Dan Kelly, make sure to like and follow our Facebook and Twitter pages at Emerging Cricket. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast and we will see you again shortly. Goodbye.